from their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
To the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast with Borg, Betts, and a Baller.
Welcome in. It's Wednesday, March 20th. We're back. Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I'm joined by Matthew Betts and Jason Moore. The boys are back.
It's been forever, man. I feel like we haven't talked to Jason in 2 months on this show. Jason, what's new, man? What's new in life? What's new in your dynasty
league? I
don't
think it's been quite 2 months, but it's been a minute. I had to travel across the country for a while and do some things, but I'm happy to be here, happy to be back, and catch up on all this madness of the 2024 free agency.
Jason, you were just checking up on your East Coast boys, because that's Betts and I. We're East Coast. So I just want to ask you, like, you actually, I think you flew during time change, like right when daylight saved. So like, was everything just off? You're like, oh, this is what life is like on this side of this country.
It was wildly different. Like, obviously, I know the time difference. It's 3 hours, like whatever. But it was so weird, man, to be like, because I'm not usually an early riser, a go-getter. If you want to call it that. I'm not the early bird getting that worm. But when I went to this trip to New York, we were just packed very, you know, the schedule started early. So by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, I mean, I'm like, I've lived a life. I've lived an entire year in that day. And then I'm seeing messages from our company Slack channel that's like, what's our lunch order? I'm like, wait, you guys are still at work and you're ordering lunch? What is happening?
That's how Betts and I feel all the time. Where, like, you know, sometimes we'll get asked a question. We're like, ah, it's like 4:35 here. And, you know, it's a different life, but we like living it with you, Jason. So we're glad you're back. And Betts, you've had a couple of things go on, a couple of life happenings, a big weekend even. So any news you want to share with the Foot Clan?
Oh, man. Well, my wife and I have decided that two wasn't enough. Two little girls.
Oh, baby!
So we're going to have a third. So we've known that news for a little while, obviously, but we did our big gender reveal this weekend with the family and some friends, which was a lot of fun. And it turns out I'm going to be having three girls at some point in my life, ages 13 to 15 at the exact same time. So I'll be going on a two-year golf trip at that point.
Yeah, don't you worry about 13 and 15. Worry till they're 15 and 17. You're going, yeah. Baby. I've got the just turned 15-year-old daughter, and one is a lot to handle, my friend.
Oh, baby.
So enjoy.
Pray for me, boys. Pray for me.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to need the decade-long lead-up of prayer.
You are hilariously outnumbered in your family. Oh, just, yeah. Like, it's not just like, oh, we had twin girls, you know, early on. It's like, no, you're just done. You're an afterthought, Betts, in the family.
It's me and the dog. Just the two of us.
Yeah. No, it's great news. It's fun. We get to share a lot of stuff about our families in the company, too. But we are going to be talking about some of the aftermath of free agency and talk about team opportunity, which is the way that we describe teams in Dynasty. They're kind of windows for contracts when we talk about certain players, like, oh, they signed a 3-year contract. We're like, well, this is really just a 2-year deal. And so a lot of times when we look at team environments, team opportunity, it's easy to only look at this year, but forget things change so much. So we'll talk about teams in free agency that change. For instance, the Chargers. This is a completely different team, right? This is a team that had, you know, Keenan Allen since 2013, Eckler and Mike Williams since 2017. And now it's just completely different, the identity. So we'll talk about the implications for Dynasty, how you can look at it, and how you can move forward. All of the changes, though, are in the Ultimate Draft Kit. You can go to udkplus.com, and we're up today. I mean, Jason, you got to come back in style and know that everything's taken care of. We're like, the teams are updated. The opportunities are updated. The contracts, they're all there.
Yeah, and that was the first thing I did when I got back. I took a look at the Dynasty rankings because a lot of these moves, you know, they make a big impact on specifically the Dynasty rankings. Free agency, you know, obviously everything's going to affect redraft because it's just what happens for me this year. But when you look at the contracts that are doled out during free agency, you can learn so much and get an advantage as a Dynasty player of like, oh, this guy got a 4-year deal. No, he didn't. Look, like, this is going to be a 2-year deal. You know those slight edges.
We've got some behind-the-scenes stuff that we're also adding. I'm working on an article right now. I've looked at every single, this is really boring, but I looked at every single tight end contract over the last decade. And I just want to tell you this, boys.
You did?
I did. And you know what I found out, Jason?
This is the most Kyle research project of all time.
What'd you find out, Kyle?
I found out that teams are hilariously bad at drafting tight ends. Like, so bad that over the last decade, only 50% of those tight ends drafted in the NFL draft even finished their rookie contract on their own team. Like, it's not just do they get a second contract, it's they don't even finish, like, after 2 or 3 years. Like, half of them are just on a different team or out of the league. So you have to think about that when you're drafting and you're drafting a team. You're not just saying, oh, this is going to be their situation forever. It changes. So we have a lot of good stuff. Ultimate Draft Kit at udkplus.com. But before we get into the big stories, before we get into the big stuff, I want to find some under-the-radar stuff. I know there's people, they're scouring the waiver wire or they're trying to make some deals that are under the radar. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, trade for Drake London right now, except the price has skyrocketed in the last 2 weeks. I want to hear some names or some low-key free agent signings and maybe some implications for Dynasty. So, Betts, I will let you start first with one of my boys, one of my former, you know, personal favorite players, Dirty Curtis Samuel. Dirty Curtis. Oh,
Dirty Curtis, as we called him on the DFS show a time or two. I'll be honest, I have a little bit of a bias towards Curtis Samuel. I've always liked him as a player. And you know, when he came out of Ohio State years ago, which he's been in the NFL for forever, but he's still only 27 years old. You know, he was kind of a running back, played some like slot wide receiver, gadget role. And really, I think he's been good as an NFL wide receiver, but he has flourished when he's been given an opportunity to be what he was in college, which is kind of this manufactured touch guy, a few carries here and there, some jet sweeps, you know, screens, that sort of thing. I think he's going to get that again in Buffalo because he goes to the Bills on a 3-year deal worth about $24 million, which is not nothing. And when you look at this depth chart, they kind of need him, right? We've got Steph Diggs, who we talked about him at length on this show, is starting to show some early signs of maybe he's not the same guy. Khalil Shakir is, I think, an okay like NFL wide receiver 3. I don't know that he's really going to level up and be a difference maker. They lose Gabe Davis, and we like Dalton Kincaid, but there is a role for Curtis Samuel in this offense. And, you know, when he was with Joe Brady, who is the OC now, back in their Carolina days, I pulled an old quote before it was called X on Twitter from 2020, October 15th. Joe Brady had this to say about Curtis Samuel. Any kind of success we have had is because of Curtis Samuel. So much of what he does doesn't show up on the stat sheet. I think Joe Brady loves this dude. I think you see that in the signing. And I think this role is going to be legit for Curtis Samuel, who, by the way, earned targets at a higher level than both of Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin last year in Washington.
I'm terrified because I think we're all on the same page. I know yesterday Andy and Jason were also quietly saying they like this signing. So this is really good, but we also know this is sometimes really bad. We're all in the same player, but it's a great situation. But I'm also just terrified.
Yeah, I'm in on Curtis Samuel. He's not as old as he feels. He's been around the league a long time. He's had several contracts, and so he feels like he's should be 32. He's not. He's not past his prime. I think he's got enough left to give. And when you're on a great offense, I mean, we saw Gabe Davis be really relevant from game to game. Obviously, very irrelevant sometimes, but Gabe Davis is not as good a player as Curtis Samuel.
It'll be interesting the type of routes he, like, you know, where they utilize him, because early on in Carolina, it was kind of like this, we use him in gadget role, but he can win down the field. And this team desperately does need players that can win down the field. Like, we saw Dalton Kincaid become a reliable PPR target, but we also saw with Stephon Diggs, this just wasn't open, deep, or intermediate. So this team needs deep speed, and he still has it at 27. So I don't know, would you be willing to Curtis Samuel or the 203 bets?
203 is probably where I just hold the pick, but I don't even know if you need to get that to get Curtis Samuel. I think, I mean, at this point, he's been around. There's so much name fatigue. It's like, it's Curtis Samuel. You might even be able to get him for like a late second, honestly, which I would do. But at 203, I think I would hold the pick.
Okay.
Interesting.
Where are you on that, Jason?
I'm definitely, I would have the 203, but I said interesting because I started to think, I don't think this is the type of player that you're trading a pick for. You know, it's like a second rounder, okay, you'll probably get him, but you might not want to give it up. The third rounder probably doesn't get him. And so you're kind of stuck in the middle. If I could trade any third rounder for Curtis Samuel, I'd do that in a heartbeat. So I was thinking, like, what's the type of player? You know, maybe you try to get out of a bust. You know, I started thinking about my own team and a team we're gonna be talking about this player later this episode. But I've got Treylon Burks on my roster. He's still young, Kyle. I think you've talked about him as like he's still. What's the phrase you've used with him where like you're holding hope or
he has a pulse.
Like, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, he's not dead yet, you know, and it's like I feel like I could get Curtis Samuel plus for Treylon Burks in a dynasty league. And Curtis Samuel's he's just gonna be better than Treylon Burks. So if I could get maybe I'll get a three or a two back and see if I can swing a deal like that.
Yeah. I have Curtis Samuel in the league. In a dynasty league, and it's like he's a great hold right now. I can maybe get some flex weeks out of him, but Jason, who do you have under the radar pick and really way more guaranteed money than I thought they were going to get?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple names here, depending on how under the radar versus how just like important it's going to be. Super under the radar would be Jameis. Excuse me.
The black lung.
Super under the radar would be Jameis Winston. Goes and signs with the Cleveland Browns. This is Deshaun Watson, whatever. He's paid enough money. He's going to be the starter. He didn't make it through this season. I don't know that he does next season. But it's nice to have a competent backup. Even if you're just looking at like, oh, I like Amari Cooper. Well, I like Amari Cooper probably more with Jameis Winston than I do with, than I do with Voldemort. So he's interesting. Devin Singletary to me is interesting. He's always just been this cast out nobody ever wants. No team wants in the NFL. No fantasy manager wants. He just quietly gets it done and scores a decent amount of fantasy points from time to time. And now he looks like he could be the dude replacing, you know, Saquon. So that's important. But the one, when I look at like the free agency winners, the guys who hit the market and the next season, they are great for fantasy. It's usually when they signed again for the same team that they were on and had a little success in versus the splash, the big deals, which are the ones that are changing teams. That gets all the publicity. But the doctor, Dalton Schultz, going back to C.J. Stroud, where he was very relevant on a this is the money that you were talking about that you were surprised with, he gets a 3-year, $36 million, $23.5 million guaranteed deal to re-sign with the Texans. It is, for dynasty purposes, really a 2-year deal. There's almost no dead cap in the third year. They could cut him. Obviously, if he's doing great, they would play it out. But for the most part, it's a 2-year deal where you're going to have a very relevant fantasy player. And there's not, people aren't fighting over themselves to get Dalton Schultz. You know, they'll give up anything right now for Trey McBride. And, you know, if you can get your hands on Sam LaPorta, the future of the position, But like Dalton Schultz is going to be, he's going to be getting it done. He's going to be on championship winning teams as he goes out there and, you know, scores 8 points a week. And when he gets a touchdown, ends up, you know, with a nice 14 point game in that, in the fantasy playoffs, with CJ Stroud dealing. So he is, I think, probably going to be undervalued.
Yeah. And it's not a sexy player on your roster, but he had a stretch. I believe it was like 7 or 8 weeks where he was a top three tight end. It wasn't just like, oh, he's giving you, you know, top 10 numbers where you're just kind of floating. Like, he can have those spike weeks, and it's an offense we're clearly buying into. So I like that one. Also, maybe some of your best nickname work over the years. I love the doctor. It's just
yeah, I do too. Dr. Schultz, baby. I mean, it's low hanging fruit.
It's good. It is. It's good stuff. I'm going to throw out under the radar signing and what it means, because DJ Dallas went to the Cardinals, and you might say, oh, cool, I need to scoop him up. This is, signing to me says this is really, really good for James Conner. DJ Dallas, 3-year deal, about $2.4 million guaranteed, but he's basically going to be a special teams kick returner. He's a jack of all trades, but master of none running back. Like, you don't have to worry about DJ Dallas taking away work from James Conner. And I think it's interesting with Conner because at his age, he's 28.8 years old, he's actually playing out his full contract, which is not something you usually see with running backs. This is the third year of a deal that he signed in 2022. This team could have moved on, but the way that he played down the stretch was incredible. His roster bonus just hit a couple days ago. So he's on this team. He's getting some awesome bonuses too in his contract. His cap hits $8.9 million. Like, they're paying this guy to be the RB1. And you saw last year down the stretch, he was a wrecking ball. That final five-game stretch, 22.6 fantasy points per game, 24 opportunities per game. I mean, he was just incredible. And the rest of the depth chart is nobody's. Michael Carter, DeMarcado. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I have James Conner on my roster, you can look at free agency and say, be excited. Could they add somebody in the draft? Maybe. But they're paying him as if he's going to be the guy for one more year. So I would be very happy with James Conner as my RB2. And if he, let's just say James Conner, you know, he's going to miss some games. It's kind of what he is. But he's also a piece at the trade deadline. If he's giving you fringe RB1 top 15 numbers, that you're going to be able to trade away to a team that says, I need a running back down the stretch for the playoffs. So it's just wild to have a running back that's 29 that you can look at in your roster and go, sweet, let's roll with it again.
Still so, there.
I traded for James Conner in Dino Junior League, Jason, 3 years ago, and I thought I would have a one-year run, and it's just kind of kept going. So I'm excited about it.
That happens every now and then with certain running backs and wide receivers. You know, you trade them late in your career and you think you're getting just one thing, and turns out you got a heftier bag than you thought you received. You might be seeing that with Derrick Henry now for the next couple of years. If you traded for him, you know, a year or two ago, you thought, you know, 2 years ago, it was like, okay, I'm going to get, I know he's an expiring asset, but whatever. And then next thing you know, 4 years later, you're like, I have really enjoyed having a lot of fantasy points.
That's how it's same thing with Mixon. It's like, I could have said last year, like, okay, you got one more year of relevance. Then he signs a 3-year extension. You're like, oh, sweet. I have some more life with this player. And in Dynasty, we're just grabbing at anybody that can give us running back fantasy points. So let's move on.
Talent or opportunity?
We're going to talk about some free agency signings and kind of ask the question, this player clearly is talented. We've seen them show out for fantasy, but the opportunity in front of the team opportunity, the way the team is functioning, that's kind of the bigger question here. So we're going to move from a couple of big name signings. We're going to first go with Betts, and then that will kind of segue into one of Jason's that I know will be an interesting one. So Betts, why don't you start off with the Jaguars, and then we'll kind of see how that fits in with the Titans, because Calvin Ridley's at the center of this conversation.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, is the surprise that Calvin Ridley is not going back to the Jaguars, which everyone just assumed, okay, when the new league year started, they would just get the deal done and let's move on. And then out of nowhere, the Titans come in and give him $92 million with a ton of guaranteed money, a fat bag of money to be their guy. And there's ripple down effects, obviously, for the Titans, which I know we'll talk about in a minute, but also for the Jaguars, because it kind of felt like they had this plan in place. You get Calvin Ridley back. You've still got Christian Kirk. You've got Evan Ingram. They signed Gabe Davis to maybe be the Zay Jones replacement because they could have saved money by moving on from Zay Jones. Now I'm not sure they really want to. They might have to hold Zay Jones. But what it comes down to is they lose, I think, and this is a different conversation for fantasy because I don't see him as a wide receiver one ever again in his career. But like for NFL teams, they clearly valued him as maybe this wide receiver one on their team. They lose that. And now they're like, okay, what do we do? Are we just going to keep Zay Jones and roll it that way? Do we take a wide receiver in the NFL draft, which this is a good class, so you'd be excited about that. But there's a lot of ripple down effect because when you look at the guys they have, like Gabe Davis doesn't really earn targets at a high level. Christian Kirk earns them at a wide receiver two level, and Evan Ingram earns them as well. But they're all like really shallow ADOT type stuff for Evan Ingram. So this team is lacking a piece of their offense. That, to me, says, what does this mean for Trevor Lawrence? Because Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be...
What are the, you talking about?
I know.
Gabe
I know.
Davis. Gabe Davis is there to rescue Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what you're saying. Did you miss that they signed Gabriel Davis?
I saw that. I'm excited for his 2 weeks a year that he's incredible and the rest of them that he disappears. But I'm kind of worried about just the Trevor Lawrence mismatch in terms of maybe where he's valued in Dynasty and where like the truth is. Because when he came out, it was the Caleb Williams where it's like, he can't miss. He's going to be incredible. You want this guy as the 101 in Superflex. He's going to be great. Now, granted, he got off to a rough start, obviously, with the clown show that happened in the Urban Meyer era. Has the quarterback eight finished the year after, but then this year regressed a little bit, right? And it's like, okay, is he ever going to be a top five guy? I don't think so. Top six, maybe if he gets lucky on touchdowns 1 year. But, you know, Marvin just put out in the Dynasty Pass one of his Dynasty Lifecycle articles, which are just incredible, looking at quarterbacks. And it's like, these guys don't really hit a ceiling if they're ever going to do it. Like, they usually don't do it after age like 26, 27, 28, somewhere in there. So I know it's early in his career, but like, it's kind of now or never for Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, for fantasy, in terms of where he's valued. So if anyone out there in their league with this move of losing out on Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars still kind of use Trevor Lawrence as, you know, a bona fide top six dynasty quarterback, I would love to sell at that price.
Last year, you know, if you were in Superflex leagues, he was one of those players like, oh, at the end of the first round, you need to get one of the elite quarterbacks, you know, one of the top seven. And this team's just wildly inefficient. Like, they're among the league leaders in like plays and everything else. But then when you look at what they did, what they accomplished, like it was really upsetting, not just like in the passing game, but also in the running game. If ETN didn't get a touchdown, then it was just a terrible week. And then you look at this team, it's like inefficient player Gabe Davis. Zay Jones has always kind of been a boomer bust guy. So I worry about this team from like a top-down perspective being able to put up enough just pure touchdowns for us to care and to spread it out because the ball is spread out so much. So, yeah, I think they need to take a wide receiver, but they've also invested so much money over the last couple of years in it that from a team building perspective, it doesn't make sense. So I'm with you. I think Lawrence probably belongs like QB 10-ish in Dynasty, where I think people want him to still have that top five outcome. And at this point, if you haven't done it, you know, within three seasons, it's really hard to jump in there again. So Jason, do you feel the same way?
No, I feel 100. I think I've felt that way for an entire year where Trevor Lawrence is a capable quarterback. He is not a star. I don't see him ever leveling up to be an MVP of the league, a fantasy winner, you know, who's going to go out there and throw for 40 touchdowns one of these seasons. Like, I've just never really been super impressed. Obviously, coming out of college, he was great for a collegiate prospect. I don't think he's ever taken that level up that you hoped he would take. And we've seen enough. We've seen him with the weapons. I don't believe that he will be a superstar ever again. And the player that I always struggle with right now, because he still does have draft capital that matters and a career guaranteed. Like, he'll whether he's good or not, he's going to play contract for a long time. He'll get a second contract. He could get he could lose his legs and then get a second contract. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no chance that he's out of the league unless he retires. Whereas Brock Purdy, I think Brock Purdy scores more fantasy points. Like I really struggle. When I was setting my dynasty startup rankings, I'm like, man, who would I rather have? Because there's much more security in Trevor Lawrence. Much more. Brock Purdy still does have a path to have a short career just because he was a seventh round pick. I know that's not fair and it sounds stupid, whatever. But when it comes to like, okay, they both play 17 games this year. I think Brock, I don't think it's even close. I think Purdy scores a ton more fantasy points than Trevor Lawrence. So that's a tough ranking for me. So if you can trade Trevor Lawrence, whose value is clearly much, much, much higher than it should be, and get another quarterback, a young quarterback, draft picks plus, I would be all over that.
Okay, I was actually just looking.
Go for it.
You know, in the app, you know, the UDK Plus app. I mean, it's just, this thing is sweet. I'm looking at the rankings, and I'm like, okay, let's just do a little name. You know, which one would you rather have? Trevor Lawrence or Tua in Dynasty?
Oh, gosh. Give me Lawrence, who's going to run a little bit more.
All right, Lawrence, yeah, or Dak?
Dak.
Yeah, I would rather have Dak, even though Dak's 30.
Okay. Jordan Love, I assume we're all on Jordan Love over Trevor Lawrence?
Yep.
What a wild world.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's kind of where he lives, is kind of that Tua Purdy-ish range. But, like, I mean, I have Trevor Lawrence
as my quarterback 14.
Okay,
so if he's being valued as like a top eight guy, then get value for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll hop in with the next team opportunity because it does segue right there. I want to talk about the Titans, who you might be old enough to remember. The Titans were not willing to do a 4-year, $100 million deal with AJ Brown, young budding superstar.
Couldn't do that.
No, they saved $8 million. And got 29-year-old Calvin Ridley for 4 years, $92 million. I talked about this on the main Fantasy Footballers episode that just came out. But if you haven't seen the press conference where Calvin Ridley is introduced to his city, his new city, and asked why the Titans, it is the grossest answer I've ever seen, talking about how, you know, well, they're trying to win. And he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be with the Jaguars, but the money was nice. It's like, oh my goodness gracious. So when I look at the team opportunities, when I stat people out for the ultimate draft kit, you know, most of the work we're doing, we don't need to overcomplicate things. The quarterback matters a lot. The quarterback is the top-down approach of a team's success. And so you've got a lot of really important names on the Tennessee Titans right now. They signed Calvin Ridley. They signed Tony Pollard. They have DeAndre Hopkins. Tajay Spears was the new hotness. Treylon Burks. Like that is a five-pack of, you know, not every team out there has five, you know, perceived valuable fantasy names.
And that's not even naming Chig, you know? We don't even have to go there.
Right.
The GOAT.
The GOAT, Chig Okonkwo. And so, who is the one on this team at the wide receiver position? Is it Calvin Ridley, who's the new hotness, gets the money? Is it DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, last year a lot of his metrics looked incredible. 28.8% target share. That was tied with Puka for 10th. 53.8% of the team's receiving touchdowns. That was the second highest percentage in the NFL. The dominator rating for Hopkins was 42%, number two amongst wide receivers. So is it Hopkins or is it Ridley? Because Hopkins is a better wide receiver. Like, Hopkins is better than Calvin Ridley.
He's better at earning targets.
And so Ridley has been very good in the NFL and in fantasy, but he's really a two. He was a two behind Julio. He might have had the most targets for the Jaguars, but he felt like a two there, and now he'll be the two for the Titans. So the quarterback throwing the ball on this team is one where you have – what do you believe about Will Levis? Does he have a bright future? I mean, you saw that Atlanta game when he first came out. Four touchdowns in that first game made me look silly because I was like, Will Levis can't see pressure. He's not that good. bad offensive line. And then I was like, well, okay, maybe he is fully legit. And then he has 4 passing touchdowns the rest of the season. And was like, yeah, that was the guy. I think Will Levis does have some talent to him. I personally like him more than Bryce Young. I don't think Will Levis is a complete and utter bust without a path forward, but I do bet against Will Levis. His ability to see pressure is Mount Rushmore level bad. It is entertaining to watch, but like the same way that it would be entertaining to go back in time to Rome and go to the Colosseum and watch a man kill a man, because you're like, oh, that dude just took a hit to the face. It's brutal. I go back, when I
had
I was
no idea where you're going with that for a second, Jason.
when I was watching college tape of Will Levis, it was like, how does he not see the guy right in front of him? And I don't know, maybe he's just tough. Maybe he's totally sees it and he's like, no problem. Look how big and strong I am. But you saw some of this. Like 45% of his dropbacks, he was under pressure. That was the second highest rate in the NFL. He had a really bad problem, when it came to taking sacks, fourth most sacks. And I think that's not going away. I don't believe that right. will be changed. I don't think the Titans offensive line is critically improved. So if you've got a quarterback taking sacks, not able to move the ball enough, and now you're splitting targets with all these fantasy relevant assets, I find myself really being out on the Titans. Now, it's worth noting one of our things we look for in fantasy to find like the diamonds in the rough is ambiguous situations. We don't know who the wide receiver one is for this team. We don't know how Tajay Spears will be involved versus Tony Pollard. So their ADPs will slip, and maybe there could be real value here. But personally, the way that I look at this roster is I'm going to bet against the Titans because I'm going to bet against Will Levis.
Yeah, the volatility game to game from Levis, like you mentioned, 4 touchdowns one game, 4 touchdowns the rest of the season. I think that's going to be in play, which is really fun in one game sample size in DFS. But it's not fun when you're playing and you're hoping for someone being a weekly starter or a QB2 in a Superflex Dynasty League. It'd be different if this team drafted a wide receiver, which we thought they were going to do 7th overall. Instead, they used the money on Ridley, an aging player who, another one of those players that looks really, really good on like Twitter or TikTok when you get like separation. And, that was the thing last year in training camp. You remember the Jaguars like, we've never seen a player move like this and get separation.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work when you're playing zone schemes in the NFL, because people are just sitting in zones. They're actually letting you get by because you're running to another zone. And Will Levis was historically bad against zone last year. And something that's really weird about him too, which is even more volatile, is that he chucks it deep at an insane rate. It like 22% of his throws against zone coverage went deep. The next closest person in the league was 13%, Russell Wilson. Like, he just basically said, like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to chuck it deep. And I don't know if these are the type of players at this stage in their career, Hopkins, Ridley, that are going to get behind defenses in the same way. So if you're bad against zone and you have aging players, it's just a bad combination. And so in Dynasty, with Ridley, he was on our trade away for our list in the Dynasty pass because we just said we just didn't see it. But I don't know, Betts, am I overthinking this? Because there is an outcome where Levis levels up and this is good, but I think we're just taking history and taking, sacks and all that other stuff and saying this weighs pretty heavily.
Yeah, real quick on that note, on the positive side is, you saw some things like the fact that, he was 51st in pass success rate with 37.1%. That was the same as rookie year Josh Allen. And he's got the arm talent, and Josh Allen needed to get Stephon Diggs, and now you get Calvin Ridley and Hopkins. If Will Levis levels up to be really good, there is a positive outcome.
Yeah, that's the case you make when you try to trade him away.
Did I convince you?
No. Okay. I'm a firm believer, and we get in trouble with this stuff because when you see it happen once, you just think, oh, that's going to happen again. when we talk about the rookie quarterbacks this year in redraft, it's like, well, CJ Stroud just did it. So like, yeah, there's a path. Trying to spot the outliers is going to get you in trouble a lot. And history has shown quarterbacks that take sacks, it's a sticky metric. Quarterbacks that struggle against zone, it's pretty sticky. So I'm a firm believer in, once the players show you who they are, I'm not saying that they need to be, you know, incredible in the first year, but they need to show you signs. I didn't really see it with Levis, and I'm a firm believer that it's probably not going to work out. And I could see this signing in a year and a half. We look back and we're like, can you imagine the Titans giving Calvin Ridley 4 years, $92 million? I think it's a terrible signing at this point in his career. Like you said, you're sitting right there. Take Neighbors, take Odunze, whatever one you want. Just reset the market, pay someone cheaper. I don't think he has it at this point in his career, Calvin Ridley, to be a one. I think Hopkins is the one there. And so I'm with you in just trying to say I'm lower on the Titans, trying to trade away Ridley on this contract if someone's hyped about it, if I can in my leagues. But I've tried, and there's not a huge market in the leagues I play in for Calvin Ridley currently.
I will say this team is much more marketable and much more fun than it was, you know, last year, where it was, he tried to play hero ball, he got hurt. This is a different team, different coaching staff. The offense is just going to look different, and the offensive line is going to need a major overhaul because it's been really, really bad. But yeah, I'm worried about the Titans. I mean, I right now I picked them fourth in the division. I'm assuming most of us would.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break before we go into some Falcons talk. I just need you guys to calm me down.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
I am hot and heavy, guys. But I need you to talk me down because I'm trying to approach this as somebody who does this for my job, not someone who is an Atlanta Falcons lifer. Is that okay? You can call me out.
Yeah. We will. We will call you out if you're being stupid.
Okay. I know you feel that way.
I love doing that. I love that. Thank you. This is going to be great.
Yes. Thank you. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the free agency signings. We talked about Kirk Cousins, but I want to talk about this from an offensive approach and how this could work and how this could affect the pieces beyond just this year in Dynasty. Because we need to call this team a different team, because the Atlanta Falcons the last 3 years were a different entity. They were playing a different game than anybody else in the league. Okay, so Atlanta lined up in 11 personnel, so three wide receivers or more, on first downs just 14% of the time. Like, that was the lowest in the NFL, and it's one of the lowest marks the last 6 years. Nobody else was running an offense like the Falcons last year. To give you a good number, Drake London ran 60 routes last year where there were more than two wide receivers on the field. 60 routes. That's like criminally, hilariously low. So when we look at the Falcons and we look at all their metrics and everything else you compare, you just throw everything out the window because they were running the ball on first downs 58% of the time.
No, they weren't. Did they really run it 58% on first down?
Yes. That was their rush rate on first downs.
Yeah. Oh, Arthur.
Got us up second and six, baby.
You're going to get them. Oh, man.
Guys, I mean, there was two wide receivers out in the field 85% of the time. So just everybody knew this is what they're going to do. This is the formation.
And I got Jonnu Smith on the field, brother.
I guess, because it's frustrating because the Falcons had certain success. And the worst part about being a Falcons fan is they were actually in a lot of games. I don't know if people realize this. They were just always just close enough to kind of like make sure
just
that they were
close enough
striking.
To let you down.
Oh, that's
the amount of texts I get from Kyle on Sunday afternoons. That was like, Why do I do this to myself? It was just on repeat every week.
I would train my kids and say, you see that we're winning right now? Do not, like, don't hold on to that at all. Just expect that you're going to get let down. So all we need to realize is that they were running a crazy amount. I mean, guys, they averaged 35 passing yards per game in sets with more than three or more wide receivers. 35. The next closest was 117. Nobody was running this offense in the league. It was JV. So the reason why Kirk Cousins makes a lot of sense is because he's been really good against zone coverage his whole career. And this system they're getting is a Rams system, right? It's Zach Robinson. It is somebody that approaches things very much. And Sean McVay has led the league in this for years and years and years in three wide receiver sets. So we have to look at this team and their small sample size and say, what do they do in three wide receiver sets? And Drake London's been really, really good in it. And Bijan Robinson has been really awesome when he did run in it. 5.8 yards per carry when three wide receivers were on the field. So let's take all of that numbers about the Falcons and then just focus in on Dynasty. Bijan Robinson, with Kirk Cousins signing, did that affect you at all between the Bijan and Brees debate?
So it's funny because I think that the whole offense changing, having Kirk Cousins come, everything is good for Bijan here. But I also think that the offseason has been so good for Brees. The problems with their offensive line they went hard after offensive line this offseason. That doesn't always guarantee change, but I can guarantee it's not going to change if you don't go hard after it. So I was already Bijan over Brees by a slight hair, but I think they've both just risen for me.
Yeah, they're both locked in. You can have it whatever order you want. I think I side with Bijan, just, you know, one less year into the contract. Not that it really matters a ton, but just if you're making me, you know, flip a coin, I think for that reason I would lean Bijan.
Yeah, 22.1 years old. I think I lean there. And we talked about this. This is a comment we made over and over again. With Bijan, having a really high floor for 4 to 5 years is rare in Dynasty. I think people are like, oh, you know, he's only RB9. Like, if you got like 4 or 5 top 10 RB seasons, like, you would be really excited for where you got him. You just didn't get a top, you know, top 3 outcome like you thought you were going to get in redraft. But the floor is really, really high. Kirk does check it down a lot too. So you're not just going to, like, the targets aren't just going to go away. Let's focus on London, because I hate that his redraft ADP went up in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Andy mentioned on the show, and after the show, I messaged him angrily, said, why did you have to mention that man's name? And then Kirk Cousins gets traded or signs with the team. Jason, you boosted him up pretty high to now being a wide receiver 1 in Dynasty startup rankings. He's not even 23. So kind of back that up, because I'm with you, but I feel like I can't speak on Falcons things.
Yeah, you can't, because you are biased. I don't give two farts about the Falcons, so I can speak to it. Look, you can't just say Kirk Cousins made Justin Jefferson, right? Because Justin Jefferson is maybe the best wide receiver in the league. If not, he's one of the three up there for debate. And he was great when Kirk Cousins went down when he was healthy on the field. But on the other side of that coin is, we know that if a wide receiver is very talented, if he is a top 5 wide receiver, that Kirk Cousins can support massive fantasy production. He will go to that star over and over and over and over and over the way you want in fantasy football. We've seen this for years with Matthew Stafford when he had Calvin Johnson, or if he had Cooper Kupp, and then he finds Puka. It's like, I'm just gonna keep doing the play that works. And for fantasy purposes, that's great. Drake London, film wise, has looked outstanding. A lot of the metrics of, like, percentage based stuff has been outstanding. It's just total volume wasn't there because of the offense that you just described. If you believe that Drake London is a great wide receiver, then you should also believe that he will be a great fantasy asset, because with this offense, the Rams scheme coming in, and a quarterback that we know will exploit an advantage over and over and over and over, then he should have monstrous target numbers at the end of the year, monstrous yardage, good touchdowns, and just be a, he should be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver this year.
Yeah, there's about four or five things you can connect of saying Cousins is good against, you know, zone coverage. Cousins is good with three wide receivers on the field. The Rams were good. This is the Rams scheme. You know, London, he has a 2.47 yards per out run when three wide receivers are on the field. Like, all of that should connect together. And yet, I know how fantasy football works sometimes, and there's all these other scenarios that you have to throw in. But everything is pointing to Drake London blowing up. Hopefully, there is a window where you got to trade for him. But yeah, he should be a wide receiver one in dynasty leagues. I want to move on to Pitts because we still don't know about his fifth year option. That's a conversation that's coming up. He's only 23.5, and I feel like we should be in, like fantasy people should be in based on where the price is. But, you know, so Betts, what do you think?
Based off how you said that, I think that's how everyone feels. Like, you say it, but you kind of like tail off at the end with a question mark. You're like, I think I'm in on Kyle Pitts again. You know, he's a really interesting case because in year one, he kind of checked the box, right? 1,000 yards with Matt Ryan, just didn't have the touchdowns. And it's like, this guy can clearly play. He's good. He's super young, still one of the youngest tight ends in the league, even though he's been in the league for a couple years now. And then you had just a couple seasons where it was okay, not great. But last year really was, I think, a year that you need to have a lot of context around. Obviously, the Arthur Smith thing is a disaster for everyone, but he had a knee injury that was more than just the MCL surgery that did linger well into the season. So I do think that the talent is still there. I still think that, you know, he's the guy that we saw coming out of Florida, the guy that we saw as a rookie with 1,000 yards. And you look at the other guys on the depth chart, Drake London is going to be the alpha, no questions about it. But Rondale Moore, we know what he is, like a gadget guy that might get you two targets a game, whatever. Darnell Mooney, I think, is a good wide receiver. I think he's better for the NFL, but he's not a target earner at a high level. So if Kyle Pitts is the second read in this offense, Kirk Cousins has shown us he can support that. So I'm in on Kyle Pitts again. I am ready to get hurt. What could absolutely go wrong?
Tight end six is where we have him in our rankings, Jason. Is he someone that you're like trying to actually acquire right now? Or because there's buzz, it's like, okay, well, now the price has gone up because it was criminally low this offseason.
I'm not actively trying to acquire him because, I'm not actively trying to acquire him because I am a coward. And once you say, fool me, you know, four times, this is like a hold on to him. I will say that there are certain situations. I chose to put him above Travis Kelce, for instance, in my dynasty startup rankings. Kelce is an interesting conversation on his own. Like, Andy still has Kelce as his tight end three in dynasty. I think a lot of people view, he says for tight end, and I think this is appropriate for any, you know, dynasty, we take too long a view sometimes. He says he plays the tight end position in dynasty 1 year at a time. It's basically startup rankings because that's all that matters for success is, can this guy score fantasy points this year? Don't worry about the long-term value of tight ends. But my point in saying all that is if I had Kelce, I would go poke. I would be willing personally. I'd go make the offer just one for one and say, hey, maybe I'll reset. Maybe I'll reset from the, you know, the 34-year-old to the 23-year-old, getting 11 years. But obviously it's a risk. I'm not trying to go acquire him. I am willing to if it is a fair deal. And I don't think you're getting fair deals right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Betts, why don't you move on and go over to Green Bay and talk to us about the running backs.
Yeah, weird, I think, fallout because there was rumblings like this team's probably not bringing A.J. Dillon back. They've got, you know, Aaron Jones, who was still pretty efficient down the stretch last year, especially in the playoffs. Maybe they just run it back for one more year and then kind of figure it out next year. And then out of nowhere, Josh Jacobs signs a four-year deal worth $48 million. But did he really? Because he did not. And that's the tricky thing with this situation is that that's what was reported. The actual deal is basically 1 year, $14.8 million, and then there's three option years for the Packers. So if it goes well, I expect him to be there. If it doesn't go well, I don't expect him to be there next year. And what's really interesting about that situation is right now there's a ton of hype on Josh Jacobs because of the landing spot. It's a good offense. We've seen running backs in this offense do very well over the years. And I get it. He's a workhorse who can touch the ball a ton. But he was terrible last year. Like, straight up one of the worst running backs in football. When you look at the numbers, 56th in yards per carry, 60th in yards after contact per attempt, 54th in explosive rush rate, and 51st in missed tackles forced per attempt. And what's wild to me is those numbers are almost identical to A.J. Dillon of last year. So, and they brought A.J. Dillon back. So you need Josh Jacobs to have not just the volume, but also, I think, be way more efficient. And if he is inefficient, I do think that they'll still give him opportunity. So I think for like a redraft, it's kind of a different conversation. But I think right now everyone's like, oh, 4 years with the Packers with Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs to the moon. He's so good. What if he's just terrible again and they move on and now you're stuck again wondering, where are we with Josh Jacobs? So I think for me,
I love this call. I love it so much.
Firmly on, you need to trade Josh Jacobs right now before things potentially go south.
I think you can get a lot for him.
I am on the exact opposite side.
All right. Are you? Let's have the debate.
Okay.
Tell us why.
So one, who was throwing the
ball? Wait, sorry. Tell us why you're so stupid. Okay.
I can do that, definitely. Who was throwing the rock for this Raiders team? Because it really was an offense, one, that was stunted, you know, right? Like the first part of the year was Josh McDaniels. Then they said, we hate you. And so then they moved on. Then it was Aiden O'Connell for pretty much, you know, from week, I think it was week 10 on. And you're getting an offense where, one, he's not throwing the ball a ton. And he was terrible against zone coverage. So a lot of the looks were bad. I mean, I know Jacobs basically took off, what, the last, like, 4 or 5 weeks. Like, I'll be back next
game time decision.
Week. So
I'll be back next year.
It's just I can look at his efficiency metrics and say in the offense he was in, it was really, really, really bad for him. And yet I can look at this Packers offense and say, okay, we loved the efficiency last year. We saw what Aaron Jones did down the stretch, at, you know, 29-year-old running back just catch fire. In the playoffs, they really went far. So I think he fits this offense. He's still at the age where I can acquire him. And I'm just saying that because I just traded for him last week. And I feel totally fine.
Oh, no.
But my price was not that high.
Did you trade him before the signing?
No, I traded for him after the signing.
Okay, you trade? Tell us the trade deets.
It's a complicated deal because we...
Just tell us the
deets.
You're
in this league, Jason. All right.
I didn't pay. I was in New York.
Okay. We got a first, Josh Jacobs and Kirk Cousins for Jerry Jeudy, a second round pick, and we swapped first.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I told you.
Okay, that's fine. I now realize who you traded with, and
that's why I was mentioning.
Okay, but well, if your league has,
can you say that Josh Jacobs has 2 years of fantasy relevance, top 15-ish?
I'm not saying he's not going to be relevant, but
15, could he be a top 15 running back the next 2 years?
Sure, but
that's
RB 15.
I need that.
The RB 13 to the RB 18 doesn't matter. Those guys are not giving you massive upside that the Bijans can, the Breeze can. And right now, the buzz on Josh Jacobs is this is going to work out. No questions asked. He's a rock solid RB1 asset for Dynasty. And I do not see it because the contract is misleading. So I'm just saying there is a path where
contract.
It doesn't work. And if you want to strike while the iron's hot, I think it's a very savvy move.
Okay, yeah, what
if,
would
if he's bad this year? If he's bad, let's just play that out.
Yeah.
This is the two options, right? He's great, and then obviously you've got a good asset. But I don't think the world exists where he's really bad this year, but you get multiple years of fantasy production. You could be at the end here. It is possible range of outcomes in a likely fashion that if he's still very inefficient and ineffective as he was last season, that then his career's over. Because of the way the contract's structured.
Okay, so then what could you actually get for him? We'll take my trade aside. But, like, one, is he worth the 106?
Are you saying would someone trade that for him?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, non-super flex, yes. I think you might be able to get a 106. I would certainly rather have the 106.
Okay. I think that's where he's appropriately valued. We didn't have to pay that, but... I think I run up against it with Dynasty running backs. I'm just like, there's not many dudes you can acquire in general. Like, it's really hard to be able, like, you're not going to get Breece. You're not going to get Bijan if I have him. It's really hard to get Jahmyr Gibbs. So when you get this second tier of player that you can find a window, then I just want to acquire those players. But maybe that's just my rosters. I'm like, the James Conners of the world have saved me over the years. So,
and I will say one last quick thing, Kyle. I want to show. Do you have the Nasty Boy drop? Can you smash that if you do? Thank you. Not technically under contract, but I just want to point out Emmanuel Wilson is a name to pick up on your Dynasty waiver wire. They re-signed AJ Dillon to like a one-year deal worth $2 million. He was absolutely horrific last year. And we just talked about, what if it doesn't work for Josh Jacobs? Emmanuel Wilson made the roster last year as a UDFA. And Matthew Berry wrote about him in his interesting things he heard at the Combine. The team really likes him. So I would not be surprised if he makes the roster. And he's a guy who carves out the RB2 role in a good offense. So pick up Emmanuel Wilson if he's on your waiver wire.
Yeah, and he won't show up as under contract, but because he's exclusive rights, he's going to be a Packer this next year. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
You mentioned before the break the exclusive rights. Have we ever talked about how absurd that genre of free agent is?
You must play for this team.
It's prison. They're in prison. Why do we call them a free agent? It's basically, all right, you can negotiate a contract with us, or you can't play football. You can negotiate a contract with only us, or you're not allowed to play. It's like, that is, how did that ever come about? How did the NFL be like, oh, guys, come here. I got a good one for these undrafted free agents. Check out what we're going to be able to do.
Oh, man. It is wild with undrafted free agents, because if you do hit, like if you do, you're able to negotiate contracts at a different level if you're not exclusive rights. And then eventually you can be the Austin Ecklers or the Philip right. Lindsays of the world. But it's so rare. But yeah, no, he's going to be a Packer. Speaking of Packer world, let's move to the Bears, Jason, because a lot of things have happened. They got a really good wide receiver who's about to be 32 on the team now. But the whole ecosystem of this team is now clearly Caleb Williams.
Uh-huh. Caleb Williams is going to clearly be the pick, as we've known for quite a while. And, you know, he's minus 2,300 right now is the line to go to number one. That is 96% implied odds, which feels like you should bet that because it's not at 100% odds, which is the chance he is the pick. Please don't bet minus 2,300 things.
These are called
jokes. All right. So here's a really, really cool situation that a 101 gets to go to. There have not been many times in the history of the NFL. In fact, I believe there has never been a time in the history of the NFL that a 101 quarterback will go to as winning a franchise in the next year, because this isn't their pick. This is the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers deserve Caleb Williams, but the Panthers gave it to the Bears. The Bears are not a bad team. They were winning games down the stretch, even with Justin Fields. I think four of the last six games he started, they won. Now they have added Keenan Allen, a wide receiver superstar. Yeah, he's in the last year of his deal. Yes, he's older. But if you're telling me that you don't think he's going to be the best asset ever for an incoming rookie, I mean, Justin Herbert had a really good rookie season, and he also had a really good wide receiver who's always going to be exactly where you know He's supposed to be, and he's going to catch the ball if you put it on him. That is unbelievable to come in to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. You add DeAndre Swift, an upgrade, I think, to this running back room, and then you have Caleb Williams come in. So in redraft, this is a dynasty show. In redraft, I will probably be betting against most of these Bears assets, betting against DJ Moore, betting against Keenan Allen, because even though I think Caleb Williams is good and will be a very, very valuable, sensational player down the line, that's how I have him pegged. I am in on Caleb Williams. Not that that's like, you know, I'm not alone. I would say almost everybody's in on Caleb Williams, but the belief is that he will hit. There weren't enough red flags in the tape and the production and in anything to have me really want to bet against it. And when you come into a situation like this, it's you're set up for success. So from a dynasty perspective, DJ Moore, I think, is going to be, he's only 26 years old, almost 27. He'll play 27. But that means 28, 29 years old the next couple of years playing with a year two, year three Caleb Williams, who once you have found success in the NFL, your trajectory stays hot at the quarterback position. You don't usually have guys, you know, look like they're getting it together and then completely fall away. It's happened before, but it's not the norm. And so I'm betting on the Bears' future. I think that the situation as a, you know, we're looking at like, what's the team opportunity here? The team opportunity is to be one of the best offenses in the league.
Crazy. But it's
now, yeah. I don't think that happens this year with a rookie. I think that they're middle of the pack, but I do believe that this is going to be a really non-Bears offense. Like, this should be the best Bears offense maybe of their history. You know, even their air quotes great quarterbacks of their franchise history have not really been prolific offensive, you know, scoring machines. And so they're stacked right now. I think that they've got a future that is set up for success in a way that has not really happened before. You see Patrick Mahomes go to a good Kansas City Chiefs team because he wasn't the 101. So often the 101 busts simply not just because of their talent, but because they were going to the worst team in the National Football League. They had a lack of weapons. They didn't have an offensive line that could protect them. You know, there are plenty of examples of quarterbacks who came in, and I believe if they went to a different team, could have been a franchise, player. But like David Carr just kept getting murdered behind the offensive line and forgot how to have confidence to play quarterback. That's Caleb Williams coming into the best situation imaginable for a 101. So I'm in on the belief. I want to bet for dynasty purposes on the long-term value of the Bears offense.
I totally agree. And I think in our quarterback evaluations, when we did that really a month or so ago, you know, we talked about the volatility of Caleb Williams escaping the pocket, what he's good, what he's, you know, not good at. But there's a lot of questions that kind of get dismissed when you start to think of, okay, who is part of this team, rather than he's throwing to the Jonathan Mingos, you know, Adam Thielens of the world. You know, the team that Bryce Young inherited was nobody is getting open. You're really bad against zone coverage. Guys, I this is really sad. Do you guys know how many touchdowns Bryce Young threw against zone coverage last year? I'll let you guess.
I'm going to say 4.
I will say 0.
The answer is 0.
Oh my goodness.
None. Because one, all of them were within the 20-yard line and in. But it's just like he wasn't set up, and he wasn't set up with the weapons, and then wasn't set up for 2023 NFL, which is mostly zone. So I think there's just so many things to like here. They're also probably going to let him pass more. You know, Shane Waldron's kind of been one of those coordinators that said, you can throw it more with, you know, with 2021 Russ team and then Geno Smith the last 2 years. They were bottom 10 in rush attempts. And so I think this team is set up in a really good way. It's sad for Keenan, but I'm also happy for Keenan because it's just kind of been, you know, it's kind of been the writing on the wall that he's at that point in his career. But Betts, any thoughts on Caleb Williams and the Bears as a whole?
No, I think you guys laid it out pretty well. This is the perfect situation to take a rookie quarterback reset with the rookie deal, drop him into this roster and let him go. And, you know, I think the move that they made to bring Keenan Allen tells you a lot. There's also still like NFL mock drafts that still say, look, even though they got Keenan Allen, they could still take Rome Odunze at 9 if he falls there. So like you could add another weapon to this offense if they don't think Keenan Allen is there beyond, you know, this season.
Yeah, I think it makes complete sense to take another wide receiver there. You don't have a third great option at wide receiver behind Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen is probably a rookie year rental to help get Caleb Williams going. He's in the last year of his deal right now, and I mean, not that he couldn't resign for the Bears, but he'll be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
He only needs 96 receptions to get to 1,000 for his career. Not that I'm counting, but yeah, it's just, it's a great situation. Now I want to follow up with this question, because we did a super flex mock draft recently where we talked about, hey, depending on your team need, if you want to take Caleb Williams 101, if you want to take Marvin Harrison, in a one quarterback league, how early should Caleb Williams go?
Startup?
No, sorry, in a rookie draft. In one quarterback rookie draft, how early are you taking Caleb Williams?
That's all I think you answer first.
I think once you get past like the Brian Thomas range, fair game for me.
I'm looking at drafts right now and it's like, okay, 105, 106, 107 is kind of the range.
He's my 106 right now, behind Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. That will completely, that could be obliterated with the NFL draft. You know, if depending on landing spots for guys like Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin, or other guys that could possibly leapfrog, Caleb Williams will be anywhere from the 104 for my purposes down to like the 107. So he's in that range. He's middle of the first round in non-superflex.
All right. I'm going to finish this off talking about the Chargers real quickly. And really, I just want to talk about how Greg Roman is burning this team to the ground.
fantasy. He's burning this fantasy team to the ground. I don't think he's going to burn this team to the ground.
Okay, so I worked through my emotions, because my quick reaction when Keenan Allen got traded, my favorite player in the league, was, I hate Greg Roman. That was my first thing. And I said, I think I hate Greg Roman more than I love Keenan Allen right now. But Greg Roman's teams have been known for running the ball, not a ton of pass attempts, but they've worked in the NFL. Going back to 2011 with the 49ers, those teams averaged 10.2 wins per year. He only had one team where it was sub 500. And, you know, there's some good teams, some Super Bowl runs.
Now it's back when we played 16 games.
I'm telling you, like, it worked in the NFL. What didn't work for the Chargers last year was running the ball. They were basically the worst team in the league, 32nd in EPA per rush. And they were really bad on what Greg Roman's really good at, which is kind of the man gap concept where you're bringing the guard over. That's his bread and butter. That's his loaf of bread. Big Greg, that's what he likes. A physical runner. He's got it in Gus Edwards. So it can work in the NFL, and it can work if you basically take every wide receiver and say, let's go for Will Disley and Hayden Hurst and block the crap out of this thing. But we have to obviously adjust for Justin Herbert. So that's the conversation that I want to have. And just like, how much do we adjust him? How much do we adjust his pass attempts? I know, Jason, when you're going to stat out this year, you're going to be like, oh man, this is a different Chargers team I have to work with than before. And I feel like the theme of this show has been, these are rebranded teams. These are like teams that had a meeting for their business and said, we got to change our logo. This is not the finesse Chargers of Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen and all those years of throwing the ball. Like,
it's not the 85 Bears where this is going to be the Caleb Williams high flying show. Yeah. I mean, this is a rebrand for the Chargers. It's so funny when Harbaugh came in, we talked about Harbaugh's history of, like, he is a run-the-ball defensive guy. He's done that everywhere. But we pointed out what his rosters were. You know, he had Colin Kaepernick and
Alex Smith.
You know, but then he had Frank Gore, and he had these great running backs. So it's like, yeah, he plays to his personnel. And the personnel of this team is Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Justin Herbert and Austin. And it's like, no, it's not. So it's like, I think he's going to play to it. He's going to play his personnel to his style so that he can play his personnel.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall. You just look at their moves, right? I mean, release Mike Williams, get rid of Keenan Allen, sign two blocking tight ends, hire Greg Roman. They're telling, bringing Gus Edwards, they're telling us all we need to know. We know exactly what they're going to
do. Both of the defensive guys that, there were four players here on this team, on this roster. It was like, we got to do something about the money. We cannot afford these two superstars on defense and two superstars on offense. So maybe we'll restructure some. Maybe we'll... No, they extended the defensive guys and kicked the offensive guys off the roster.
Oh, gosh. I do think... So whoever... So it's Gus Buss for the short term. I'm interested to see the rookie. I know everybody wants to say Blake Corum. I think Jalen Wright is an interesting, sneaky name that I want to throw out there. Would be a really good combination. He actually did have a lot of the same... you know, gap concepts that they're good at. I mean, the big dudes, the Ray Davises.
That's a neat fit. That's a neat fit. I like that fit with, yeah, with Jalen Wright.
And he's a different player than Gus Edwards, who's a no-nonsense, I'm going to follow blocks, I'm not trying to do much. So I think he would be interesting.
Braylon Allen?
Yeah. There's so many combinations other than Blake Corum, which, you know, is very much on the nose that would happen. But I know how the NFL works. It doesn't happen. Like, whatever combination we make before, those things never happen, so I will be betting against Blake Corum being a Charger. Let me say this about Herbert. 26 years old. In our Dynasty Startup ranks, we have him at QB 10, which last year was like, duh, Justin Herbert, you take him in the first round of a Superflex startup. We have him at 20th overall right now in Superflex.
No, in Superflex?
It's because of Mike.
Mike. So we need to just talk about that real quick so that if people are looking at that. Mike really does have a genuine...
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with his approach. It is not consensus. It's not the usual agreed-to gentleman agreement of how we play Superflex. But what he doesn't value the quarterbacks as high in Superflex as most average Superflex leagues do. This has been a good thing for him from time to time, because I do think that the majority consensus overvalues quarterbacks in Superflex. Not that they're not valuable, but they just overdo it. They overdo it with the mediocre, the medium, the, you know, once you're past those top 4, 5, 6 guys, you know, that next tier is usually seen as still like, just keep drafting them at the very beginning of the first round. And Mike's like,
Trevor Lawrence.
I would rather take, you know, an AJ Brown, a young, great wide receiver who I know is going to be good for a long time, than these middling quarterbacks who might have a down year. And, you know, so there is legitimacy to it. But when you hear that he's 20 overall, that's Mike.
Yeah. I think, well, one, you can win with so many different strategies. And I do think that when we look at Herbert, he's averaged 26 completions per game in his career. Like, he's kind of been a volume guy. He was awesome. If you remember the first 6 weeks of the year, he was a quarterback one. All right, 23 points per game. But he's averaged 26 completions per game. And I started looking up, man, how often has Greg Roman done this? In 10 years as an offensive coordinator, 162 games, his quarterbacks hit that just 9.8% of his time. Justin Herbert's average of 26 completions. So he's going to have to win on efficiency. And it's really hard to look at this offense and go, where is the passing efficiency right now? Now, if they draft Malik Nabers, you're excited, you know, at 5 overall, but we've talked a lot about Quentin Johnston. We've talked a lot about, like, hey, you can just stare at him on your bench if that is the kind of pain that you enjoy. But to expect a leap forward is really hard based on the historical evidence of what he's done so far. But it's hard to find a rookie quarterback, or rookie, a young quarterback in his prime, just completely stripped of his weapons. I went through as many comps. Randy Moss, when he left the Vikings, is really the only one where Dante Culpepper was the quarterback one the season before, and then he was gone after that. Just like nothing for fantasy. But like, it just doesn't happen. You don't see teams paying their quarterback and then saying, we're not going to give him weapons. So I don't know. How do we adjust bets in Dynasty?
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic. You know, when you were taking Justin Herbert last year, if you had him, you could see weekly top three finishes in the range of outcomes. You could see a top five finish on the season if things went right. I think that's gone. Just straight up gone. Because you just won't have enough volume. And it's not just the volume concern, but Quentin Johnston is on paper the wide receiver one. And that is a massive, massive red flag for this offense. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you need to take this opportunity. You have a small window where it's like, hey, they don't have Mike Williams. They don't have Keenan Allen. Try like heck to trade away Quentin Johnson right now. But for Justin Herbert, I'm worried, man. I think when it all comes, you know, down to it, when you guys do all the stat rankings in the UDK and stuff, like, I think he could be like the quarterback 14, 15.
Don't say it. That's so sad.
And it's like, okay, you know, but I don't see him really helping you this year.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, played the entire season, was pretty good. He was the quarterback 11. You know, he was not, that was quarterback one, but he's not winning people championships, you know, and he was 16.4 fantasy points per game. So this is like you take a few touchdowns away, you take a bunch of passing attempts away, you take some weapons away. Yeah, he's probably outside the top 12 this season.
Yeah, I mean, that season you're talking about 699 pass attempts. I think that's like in the top five of all time. And it was an inefficient season. So to expect him to get, I don't know, his pass attempts in the low 500s?
This team has four wide receivers on the roster as of now.
Yeah. Joshua Palmer to the moon.
Wide receivers.
Palmer's going to be probably pretty good. I will say this. It's hard to project this going into year five, but based on the coaching history and the weapons on the field, I do think you're going to have Justin Herbert run the ball a significant amount more. Like, he's never really gotten over 300 yards. I think he eclipses 400 rushing yards this year.
I can see that. And we saw a bounce back last year with three rushing touchdowns after zero the year before. But it's just, before it was a no-brainer. You take him in the first round of a Superflex startup, and this guy's going to be awesome forever. And now you're looking like, I did not see this scenario coming where I look at this guy and say, not only do I not get the volume, but I don't have anybody, any weapons right now. But that could change, you know, Malik Nabers, whoever, a month from now. But yeah, I'm calmed down from Greg Roman, and I'm just pointing my anger at just Jim Harbaugh now, because he let this happen too.
I can't wait for the Cardinals to, sadly, trade out of the number four spot, bypass Marvin Harrison Jr., and have Marvin Harrison Jr. drop into the lap of Justin Herbert and the Chargers and watch that team, who has no wide receivers on the roster, grab a defensive player. I just can't wait. I can't wait for them to be like, nah, dude, we don't do passing here.
How good are you at blocking, Marvin? That's right. All you got to do.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. If you want more, you can go to udkplus.com and get in on all of our dynasty rankings, startup rankings, udkplus.com. And we'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast. If you want to take your dynasty skills to the next level, check out thefantasyfootballers.com.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.